Welcome to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series, a project of the Geneva Peacebuilding Platform. Geneva Peace Week was founded on the core belief that each person, actor, and institution has a role to play in building peace and resolving conflict. Geneva Peace Week is an annual forum in the peacebuilding calendar that includes ceremonies, high-level panels, policy briefings, workshops, videos, podcasts, and other special events. These free contributions are hosted by different organizations and actors around the world. This year, Geneva Peace Week celebrates its 10th anniversary and is held from the 30th of October to the 3rd of November, 2023. For more content, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.
Hi, I'm Katerina Kramer, Head of Communications at Sigma European Think Tank. You're listening to episode 3 of our podcast series, Power and Polarization, Disinformation Against the Vulnerable.
How can we counter disinformation with the goal of peace building overall? Because obviously we see community as a way forward in the future, not just for disinformation, but in general. How can we move forward with peace building?
Disinformation divides, disinformation erodes trust between people. And these are things that are not conducive to peace. And in particular, when people become apathetic, people are not engaged because of disinformation, then it's easier for a society to get into situations or march off to war. And so I think all of these things feed into peace building at every level, not just a national level, but the regional level and the local village level. If we can build community and trust at the village level, at the neighborhood level, at the regional level, I think we will have the building blocks for peace in a broader sense among all peoples. And I truly believe that. And I think the truth is worth it. The truth is worth standing up for, because we need truth for accountability. And without accountability, there's no democracy and no peace.
So one strategy that has not been mentioned so far is that, especially in terms of peace building, what governments could do is to promote objective journalism and promote freedom of media. Because by supporting all kinds of quality journalism, which then provides accurate information, you can in turn counter disinformation. So, for example, with the border conflict between Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, so you had very few outlets which tried to maintain a balance and publish verified information, but most other media outlets seem to just repeat government's messages and were, in the end, not really impartial news providers. So this, in turn, then exacerbated the conflict on both sides. So in my opinion, only by fostering independent and impartial journalism, you can help bridge divisions and foster kind of an understanding in conflict zones and, in turn, help peace building.
I definitely second what Chris and Max said. I just want to dwell a bit more on the role of education. I mean, all its forms, formal, non-formal, informal education, and what a powerful instrument education is. Not the sole instrument, but to me the most powerful instrument to address disinformation. And here I just want to refer a bit to the role of universities in being able to address what Chris also said, the polarization of societies, the us versus them elements, the concept of otherness, which by default would lead us to the scapegoat element. The other is the easiest to be blamed and to be found as a scapegoat for all the societal problems that we have. And here universities do play a key role, and universities, I think, should be more prepared and more aware of their role of defending democratic values, because universities in our various systems, wherever we are, they have a central role in upholding truth, the free speech, and the promotion of democracy, and through these, the peacekeeping element. However, I think that all this depends on the critical thinking being promoted by our universities and systems altogether. And for universities, it is key that critical thinking goes hand in hand with academic freedom. You cannot have critical thinking without academic freedom. And in this sense, I think higher education institutions should have the necessary academic freedom. They generally do have it, with the exception of subsystems where they do not have it and everything is centralized and they have to follow a prescribed curriculum by the government. But I think critical thinking and academic freedom are very important elements for, you know, nurturing democratic societies and peacekeeping. So I really wanted to emphasize this element and invariably to say that academic freedom also means that the government stays away from prescribing curricula or the organizational setup of universities. And I think this is the way ahead. In order for our educational institutions to be able to nurture a new nuanced approaches, not the binary yes, no, as Chris also said, but really come forward with nuanced elements that by default encourage critical thinking and make us really fully fledged, well-rounded citizens that have the capacity to think for themselves.
So we discussed a bit about new technologies like social media, for instance, being weaponized to further create divisions. They're also used to increase intolerance, fuel hate, conflict. So I'd like to ask, how can we actually leverage these new tools for good in peace building?
I love that you asked about future technologies. Everything we've talked about with regard to disinformation exists within a world where we have an interactive relationship with our telephones, our laptops, and all of these things. We are now moving into an immersive relationship where our extended reality glasses will replace our phone, where the images we read will be on glasses in front of our eyes for 16 hours a day, not the 11 hours a day the average person spends online. So I think our challenge is getting greater, but I think we also have many opportunities, if we get this right, for the immersive digital age of extended reality powered by artificial intelligence and neurotechnology to be one where we have more human agency, where truth is still something that is verifiable and that people believe in. But I think, like, as with all things, as with all new technologies, it's a which direction shall we go? And I think the sooner we have these discussions about what's at stake and what these things mean, the better off we will be in the future.
Well, there are many ways of addressing disinformation, such as AI detection and deletion, or the regulation of social and digital media. I really think at the end of the day, it is really the individual that needs to become aware of addressing disinformation in a sustainable way through education and training. But this is a personal view, I think that technology is there to help us. And in the last years, we have seen ways through which social media giants try to address disinformation, try to label news as fake news. Sometimes they were not fake news, sometimes they were biased news. So I think that technology element by itself will not be able to really tackle disinformation in the long term and in a sustainable way without the human element. And by human element, I mean ourselves as individuals and our own critical thinking.
What do you feel is the most central aspect and or lesson of disinformation that not only our audience, but media consumers in general should know or should be aware of?
I think the most important thing to take away is that political movements that rely on disinformation are inherently undemocratic.
So for me, my takeaway is don't forget the humanity in the whole aspect. And I think what we should also not do is stigmatize people that fell into traps of disinformation campaigns, but rather help them to learn and spot them easier.
A personal takeaway for me from this conversation is to really have red flag in my mind when a news makes me become too emotional. Like, read the news again from a different source, get more informed about it, try to disentangle the emotion from the fact.
A lot of interesting points and aspects were raised. Thank you very much to all our speakers, and we hope that listeners had some interesting takeaways and that we were able to raise some awareness.
You've been listening to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series. For more content like this, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.